Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll continue our study to some of the verses which are written in Quran chapter 7. Today we'll look at one of the stories which is invented by Muhammad or those who helped Muhammad to make up his Quran. How do I know that what we're about to read is an invented story? It's very simple. Not only because the Bible does not mention it, but because the Quran does not talk about anything worth listening to. No details whatsoever. It's just a few verses put together in Quran chapter 7, beginning from verse 65 until verse 72. And when we ask many questions, Muslims do not have an answer. And that is exactly what I'll be sharing with you today. First, let us read that passage to learn about the story of Prophet Hud and the people of Ad. And to Ad, that is the people of Ad, their brother Hud, that is Prophet Hud, said, O my people, serve Allah. You have no God other than Him. Do you not fear? The leaders of His people, who became infidels, said, surely we see that you are unsound of mind, and we surely think you are of the liars. He said, O my people, there is not unsoundness of mind in me, but I am a messenger from the Lord of the world. I deliver to you the messages of my Lord, and I am to you a faithful advisor. Or do you wonder that a reminder came to you from your Lord upon a man among you to warn you? And remember when he made you viceroys after the people of Noah, and increase you in tallness of stature. So remember the favors of Allah, perhaps you may prosper. They said, have you come to us that we may serve Allah alone and leave what was our father serving? So bring to us what you promised us if you were of the truthful. He said, indeed, vengeance and wrath fell on you from your Lord. Do you dispute with me in names that you and your fathers named them, which Allah did not send down with authority? So wait, surely I am with you among those who wait. So we delivered him and those who were with him with mercy from us. And we cut off to the last those who denied our verses, and they were not believers. Now when you read these verses, and you ask any question about these verses, hoping that you can understand anything about Prophet Hud and the people of Ad, you will get no answer. For example, when did this story take place in real life? I know that in verse 69 that they came after Noah. Well, guess what? Every person who ever exists in life must be after Noah. Why do we know that? In the account of Noah, we know that all the people of the earth died except Noah and his three sons, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and their wives, and Noah's wife. So 8 people were delivered and everybody else died. So if you're going to tell me any story about anybody who exists in this world, they have to be the descendant of Noah, not the descendant of somebody else which did not came to exist. So that is not obviously an answer. I'm talking about who are these people. Now the second question, who are these people? For Muslim scholars created names to answer that question. And the proof is there are 2 sets of different names. And none of them are accurate. So for example, Muslim scholars said that Hud was the son of Abdullah, the son of Rabah, the son of Al-Khulud, the son of Ad, the son of Aus, the son of Aram, the son of Shem, the son of Noah. You got the list. lots of sons here. None of these names are accurate until you get to Shem and Noah, because we know Noah have a son by the name Shem. But all these names in the middle, there is no existence of them anywhere in the Bible. But listen to the second opinion of so-called Muslim scholars. They tell us Prophet Hud was Shaleh, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of the cousin of the father Ad. Wait a minute. What is that? I mean, we go from one opinion of nine generations to the second opinion, which is four generations. So which genealogy is the accurate genealogy? Trust me, neither one. It's just Muslim scholars always invent information. That's why I always call them fabricators, not interpreters. When we go to the Bible and we want to learn about any name in the Bible of some king or some prophet, well, guess what? We got the genealogy. For heaven's sake, the best genealogy you can have is the genealogy of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. For in the New Testament, we see two different genealogy, one concerning his mother's ancestors, and the other is his father's, as people thought that he is the son of Joseph's ancestors. But we can take it all the way back to Adam. This is an amazing genealogy. But when we come to Prophet Hud, Muslim scholars do not know. Why? Because Allah never mentioned any ancestry list in the Quran, and Muslims just doing their best to fabricate some names. Now, who are the people of Ad? Those whom Allah sent to them, Prophet Hud. Muslim fabricators, or you can call scholars, said that these are the people who used to worship idols. Wow, that makes lots of sense. Now, I know exactly who these people are, because guess what? All the people throughout life worship idols. As a matter of fact, some of them sacrificed their own children to please the gods whom they were worshiping. That does not give me an answer. Where they were living? Where was their city? I know about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. I know Lot, and I know the people of Lot, as Muhammad calls them in the Quran, and they were living in five cities. One of them is Sodom, the other is Gomorrah, and there is other three cities. And we can read about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible, and we know that there was location. As a matter of fact, archaeologists today found out exactly where is the original location of Sodom and Gomorrah. But where is the city of Ad, where the people of Ad were living? There is no existence. But we continue with the fabrication of Muslim scholars, as they said that the people of Ad denied prophethood, and they saw that he's crazy. That's why Allah stopped the rain from coming down to them for 3 years. And then they continue to fabricate information by stating that at this time, the Muslims and the polytheists who live among them, excuse me, there were Muslims living in the days of Prophet Hud among the people of Ad? Muslim will tell you. Scholars mean by that the believers. Okay, so there's some believers there and some unbelievers there. Bunch of infidels. Okay, what they will do? They have this habit. When bad things happen, they will go to Mecca. Why? Because they seek Allah. Why? Because Allah will send the rain. See, now we know that Mecca is part of the story of the Quran. When in reality, nothing is written in the Bible about any of the true prophets, about any of the believers of God. These are the Jewish people ever went to Mecca to seek help from Allah. So the people of Ad sent a bunch of men to go to Mecca seeking Allah's guidance, that may Allah send the rain on them. And I love it, because he also gave us names. You see, son of Asr and Marsid and son of Sa'd, and 70 other people went with them. I mean, how in the world Muslim scholars can come up with this information? Oh, there is no source of it except their mind. They are fabricators. They're trying to make the Quran make sense about that great prophet, Prophet Hud. When in reality, there was never a prophet by the name Hud. There was not a people by the name Ad. And this is just nonsense. Because if they are seeking Allah in Mecca, why can't they listen to their own prophet whom Allah sent to them by the name Hud? We just read the verses. He's asking them to worship Allah. And they did not worship Allah. They actually challenged him And they told him, well, send the punishment on us. Well, the rain stopped for 3 years. Well, in case you didn't get it, the rain stopped because it was the punishment of Allah. What they should do immediately, they should repent to Allah, asking Prophet Hud to seek Allah for them. And if the rain comes back, hey, they are on the right track. No. Muslim scholars have to put Mecca in it. And now we see that they send the 70 men all the way to Mecca so they can seek Allah. Not seeking Allah through the prophethood, but somehow they just go back to Mecca.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
All right, let's continue with their fabrication. Before they went to Mecca, one of their men by the name Marsad said to them, I swear by Allah, you will not get water. He meant the rain. If you go and call on Allah, the God of the Kaaba, but you will receive rain if you obey your prophet and you repent to Allah. So they said to Muawiyah, put him away from us. He will not come with us to Mecca. Surely he followed the religion of Hud and he left our religion. Then the 70 men went to Mecca. And Muslim scholars said, at that time, the descendant of Amalek, the son of Luz, the son of Sham, were living in Mecca. Wow, now we know another fabrication. Because obviously, Muslim scholars, as always, do not have a clue what they're talking about. Why? Because Amalek was the son of Tamna, the concubine of Eliphaz, son of Esau. And we learn about that from Genesis chapter 36 and verse 12. Where they were living? In Genesis chapter 36 verse 16, they were living in the land of Edom, not in Mecca. Add to that, that during King Saul, God wiped out the entire people of Amalek, not only for the good for the children of Israel, but for the good of all the people of the world. And that is what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 15 verses 7 and 8. For there we read, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Obviously, later we know that Prophet Samuel also killed the king of Amalek. So the whole entire nation of Amalek were destroyed. How in the world Muslim scholars bring them back to life and make up that story about them just because they want to put them in the land of Mecca? God help us about the foolishness of whom they call Muslim scholars. Continue with a fabricated story of Muslim scholars. When they went to Mecca, they were welcomed there by Muawiyah ibn Bakr, who showed great hospitality to them. And they were drinking the wine, and they were eating and drinking more wine for a whole month. Wait a minute. How in the world, if you are on a mission, Your people are starving for water, and it's been 3 years no water, and you were sent to Mecca to seek Allah in Mecca to bring the water to your people. You sat there in Mecca eating and drinking wine for a whole month, and you forgot to mention why you went to Mecca to start with. Then Muslim scholars said, when Muawiyah ibn Bakr, their master, found out that they forgot about Allah, he spoke to them in a poem. When you read the poem of Muawiyah, you will discover that he actually is telling them politely, you overdid your stay. It's time for you to go back to your people. After that, we read that they call on Allah in Mecca. O Allah, bring water to Ad as you used to bring water to Ad. So Allah said he created three clouds for them. One is white, one is red, and one is black. And a caller from heaven called on them. And he said, choose for yourself and your people which one of these clouds. So they said, we choose the black one because she have more water than the other two clouds. So that cloud came to the valley of Ad. So they said, good news, here it is. And they saw that this would be a rainy cloud. But out of that cloud, a severe dry wind came on them and destroyed them. And only Hud and those who believed in him were saved from that stormy wind. And they came to Mecca and they served Allah in Mecca until they died. Wow. What a great fabrication to nonsensical verses of the Quran. How in the world somebody can convince me that this is true story? We do not know who is Prophet Hud. We do not know who are the people of Ad. We do not know where they lived. We do not know when they existed. We actually know nothing about them. And what is so amazing, as you read other stories invented in the Quran, you read the same sentences, except maybe a different punishment on the other people whom Allah sent to them, a different prophet. This is a comedy or nonsense. Now I can share with you my thoughts concerning the true story behind this propaganda. First of all, we have to understand that in the book of Genesis chapter 10 and verse 22, we know the descendants of Shem, the son of Noah. And they are Elam and Ashur and Arphaxad and Lud and Aram. No such descendant of Shem by the name Hud as Muslim fabricators or scholars claim in their attempt to tell us who is Prophet Hud. We do not read anywhere in the Torah about a man or a prophet by the name Hud. Or we can say maybe they were confused between the name Lud and the name Hud. But guess what? Even Lud, the descendant of Shem from Ham, was not a prophet. He was not sent to any people, not his people, or to any other people. And don't forget that the people of Ad never existed in the Bible. Now, Muhammad did not tell us in the Quran what is the rajas, which is the wrath of Allah, the punishment of Allah on those people of Hud who did not believe in their prophet Hud. I know, we read in the Quran that Allah said in verse 69 that a reminder came from him, and that is Hud. And we know that that reminder came with messages, and that is in verse 68. But what was the message? We do not know. And what was his reminder? We do not know. These are just labels without any information. Now I think the fabrication which is given about these three clouds, the white and the red and the black, is simply fabrication. Because if it was true, why we do not read these words in the story of the Quran? Now, I believe deep that Muhammad heard about a story of a prophet in the Bible. And that prophet came to his people, which are the Jewish people. And he knows that these people at the time were worshiping different gods. And God told that prophet that these people need to repent. And if they will not repent, then the judgment of God will come on them. Well, guess what? The rain stopped, not for 3 years, as Muslim fabricators did, but actually 3 years and 6 months. What was the name of the prophet? Oh, his name was Prophet Elijah, not Prophet Hud. What is the name of the king of the land at the time? Is King Ahab. not any of the names which Muslim scholars wrote in their interpretation. And that is the true account of Prophet Elijah, which we'll read about in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. And we will encourage you to go back to the Bible and read the story of Elijah and how he stood against King Ahab, who had lived in sin and causes the children of Israel to sin against God. Then Prophet Elijah declared that there will not be rain until he says so. And that is the true biblical account from which maybe, I'm guessing, I'm not sure, because I'm not a prophet myself to tell you what these so-called Muslim scholars come up with these ideas, but I believe that is the source of their information concerning their fabrication to the interpretation, to the non-story. When I say non-story, because there is no story there, which we read about in Quran chapter 7, verses 65 to 72. This problem we have here will be repeated throughout the Quran as Muhammad was simply inventing stories. And he was using these stories to scare the daylight out of his people by telling them, look, there were prophets who came before me, and when the people did not believe in him and obey his commands, Allah punished them and they were destroyed. Do you want to be destroyed? When in reality, when we investigate these stories, we found that there is no truth whatsoever in them, as we will be seeing in the next story concerning Prophet Saleh and the people of Samud. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.